Hello, everybody. Just a very quick one about Instagram. If you're on it, Meta, the parent company, is reducing the number of political posts visible to users on their feed. This is a real thing, not a hoax. So go to your Instagram profile, tap the three horizontal lines in the top right corner to open the settings tab, scroll down to what you see, click on content preferences, open political content, and turn on don't limit political content. That's an option. Otherwise, you won't see almost anything we post because we are deemed political. Please do that now, or you won't even see the posts about our shows, our fun things. So if you want to see Guilty Feminist content and know when we're coming to a place near you or releasing a new podcast, do it now.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, Guilty Feminists. The show has been running for almost 8 years now, and a lot's changed in that time. This was only our 14th ever episode. It was released in 2016, and it was on the theme of anger. It's the one people mention most to me and say changed things for them or allowed them to go and front something or change something or do something. So I really think it probably is the most important one to repeat. What angered me the most at the time was Brexit. Sophie Hagen is co-hosting and Lolly Adefope is our guest. But the vote to leave the EU is what everyone was thinking about. There's a lot to be angry about in the world, and I really hope this classic episode is one that helps you harness your anger and use it as a motivating, powerful force. And now, the episode.
I'm a feminist, but I secretly like the film Pretty Woman, and in truth, am open to the idea of Richard Gere paying to enter me on a grand piano. I am a feminist, but when I recently fell asleep in my hotel room, I realized that my pillow smelled of men's perfume. I fell asleep pretending that the pillow was Dr. Jackson Avery from Grey's Anatomy, played by Jesse Williams.
What would you do if I told you I had him here tonight as a secret guest?
I'm a feminist, but I would go on and put on makeup.
I'm a feminist, but I've gone back and doctored TV scripts I've written to make sure they pass the Bechdel test by changing police officers to women and giving them names.
I'm a feminist, but when I recently arrived to my hotel room, I realized that the perfume I had bought was actually a man's perfume. So I sprayed it on my pillow.
I'm a feminist, but I recently bought a product which claims to make your eyelashes as long and thick as false eyelashes that was in packaging that said, happiness guaranteed. And then after Brexit, I looked at the package and thought, that was a lie. But in fairness, I haven't used it much. Maybe I should have used it nightly as recommended. And we wouldn't be in this mess.
It's all your fault.
I'm a feminist, but I now own a hotel pillowcase.
I call him Jesse.
Live from King's Place in London, the Spontaneity Show presents The Guilty Feminist with Sophie Higgin and Deborah Francis White, and tonight's special guest, Lavielle Coco, talking about being
gay. Did you have an affair with a pillowcase?
It was a very sad day. It was a very sad day. And then became a very good night.
No, fair enough. We do what we need to do in these times to get by.
Also because it was a soft pillow, so that... So it was like a fat Jesse Williams.
Ah, can you imagine? This is The Guilty Feminist, the podcast in which we explore our noble goals as 21st century feminists and the insecurities and hypocrisies which undermine them.
You're so good at that bit.
That's really not an impressive bit to be good at, though, is it?
I mean, there's a reason why you're doing all of them, and that's because I can't say hypocrisy.
Yeah, it's a really tough word to say if you've got a Danish accent. And I really need now, right now, to make you feel so welcome here because you are, in fact, European. And we don't care what words you can't say. We just love you.
I flew in today from Ireland and the pilot said, like as a joke when we landed, welcome to the non-European United Kingdom. And he just wanted to make like a joke and the whole plane was just like... Like, we all thought we were going to say the same, like, ha, 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 yeah, that was shit. But then someone were like, yeah. And we're like, uh-oh. And they just started kicking off. Yeah,
kick
yeah.
off.
They were, like, opening the doors. They could just get them off the plane.
Doors to manual. I don't know how it's been for you guys. But, I mean, we probably should just say, hey, Brexit, fuck.
And also, in case, you know, just because it's going to be a future episode, Heil Farage, is that going to be our... Is that going to be our new... Just in case, we don't want no trouble. Thank you for the visa.
Oh, God, they can't take you away, can they?
They can.
They can't.
They so can. Oh, God, they can.
They can't take you away from me.
Oh, but they'll try.
I'll come to Denmark and we'll do the podcast there.
Oh, yeah, we've already done that.
We have already done that, but somehow we have to meet. And if Denmark will have me, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure.
We'll meet in Canada, where our heartthrob Justin lives.
Oh, my God.
And we're not talking about Bieber, just to be clear. We're talking about feminist...
Trudeau,
Prime Minister Justin.
But he has been overtaken by Jesse Williams, right? Am I... Right?
Okay, so if we meet Jesse Williams and Justin Trudeau...
Oh, my... Don't...
Yeah. Like, in a bar, you can have Jesse and I can have Justin.
Oh, my... Yeah. Yeah. Sure, that's... You picked the good one. Have you seen him?
Yes, they're both good ones. I think we'd be lucky to meet them together. And let's be clear,
If anyone has any contacts... Would you
like to get them on as guests of the podcast? That would be nice, wouldn't it? Yeah.
We'll kick off any one of the women.
We're not kicking off the women.
We're putting on
extra shows to accommodate and include men. Sophie, what was your challenge for anger?
So anger is a funny thing. Like I grew up being like that, like this sweet little girl. Like my grandparents would always brag that I never cried, as if that was like a normal thing. So after years and years of therapy, dealing with repressed feelings of anger and sadness, I only had like a few years of just feeling normal until I became a feminist, and then anger became just like part of everyday life. So I thought, but I still have that in me, like that, like, you know, I'm not that good at asserting myself. So I thought my challenge would be when someone does something that I don't like, instead of just laughing it off, because I'm also careful about not being the angry feminist or the, you know, the crazy bitch or the hysterical woman. Like, you don't, because that's a stereotype about feminism in a lot of cases, and I just didn't want to be that. So I've always kind of laughed it off whenever something was making me really angry. So I thought, what if I don't do that? Fortunately, something happened. I'm so lucky. I did a gig in another country, and the gig was 4 hours away from the airport, so we had to be driven, me and another comedian who's a man, male comedians, they're out there. Have you heard? Support them. And so the promoter came and picked us up and drove us 4 hours to this other town. I couldn't speak the language. It was another place. We were kind of completely reliant on this promoter to pick us up and take us around and all of these things. He had been a great guy, the promoter, the night before. He'd been really, really nice, and he felt very safe and normal and all of those things. Then the next night he got drunk and he started being a bit just like creepy. Like he would say to the male comedian, he'd say, oh yeah, I can't hug Sophie because it would just be sexual. And I said, no, please don't say that. And I thought, that doesn't count. Like, it doesn't count that I mumble something. Like that doesn't work. I need to say this for real. So the next night, he was drunk again, and he came up to me, and he hugged me from the side. And that's not really a hug, because that's just someone like holding your arms in like to your body. That doesn't count as a hug. That's not a hug. That's a hostage situation. And he's like a huge, huge man, like very, very muscly, very, very tall. I mean, he could break me in half, and that's saying something. Usually I'd kind of just go, but I went, don't touch me. And something just changed in this, like, in his face. And I think a lot of women will recognize that change. And he went completely ice cold, and he said, I will touch you if I want to touch you. And I said, that is rapey. And that was the best word I could think of in that situation. I completely froze, and he grabbed me again and held me really close, and he said, it's just a hug, I'm just hugging you, as if to show me I can do this to you. And I was completely frozen, because whenever I like laughed it off, that would kind of, in my head, that would be like me convincing myself that, you know, I was agreeing to it somehow. But then saying stop and having that disrespected, I had nothing left. I was just vulnerable and so angry and so scared. And he had to drive us all the way back to the airport the next day. And during this trip, this four-hour trip, guys, he was really sad about what had happened. So he kept, like, mocking me, going, oh, yeah, guys, remember when Sophie called me rapey? And then he would look at me and laugh. Like, he was, like, insisting that I would start laughing, which is something you will just do because you're in his car. He's a big guy. You're in a country you don't know. You know, you just go, And when we got to the airport, the other comedian said, are you okay? And I was like, no, I'm not. That wasn't cool. And he said, oh, you know, he means well. He's just drunk, and, you know, that's just his way of dealing with things. And it made me so angry. And it's weird because that's all you're left with in that situation. When someone oversteps your boundaries, when someone disrespects you, no, when you're not heard, when you're not respected, that you have nothing, you have no power. I felt so, so powerless, and it's terrifying. And all I had was this anger, because it was no longer a hug, it was him asserting his physical superiority. And that is terrifying. And the thing is, it didn't have to happen. There are other men in that room, and they saw it, and they could have stopped him. And that makes me so angry, because I don't want to need other men to feel safe. Like, I don't want to need that other men act so that I get my body back. I get that being diplomatic and being nice and taking on the trolls and just explaining sexism to mansplainers and manspreaders and whatever, like, I get that that's a good way of doing it and that gets more people on board. But I can't keep pretending to not be angry. It's weird, like, you sound like an angry feminist. Of course I fucking do, because every single time I state my boundaries, I get reminded that my body isn't mine. It just doesn't work anymore. It's like I looked up hysterical. Hysterical means being unable to control your feelings or behavior because you're extremely frightened or angry. So, yeah, I'm hysterical and angry, and I'm okay with that now, because sweet little girls don't get anything done. But maybe hysterical, angry, crazy bitches do.
Woo!
Barbara Frances White.
The thing that puts me off having children most of all, I think, is not long ago I was standing in the street with a friend and we're chatting and she got a call on her phone. She said, sorry, I have to take this. And she went, hello? Yes, well, I don't. No, I didn't. Well, I didn't say that. Well, I can't tell you every time I'm on the television. Well, why can't you look in the Radio Times like everyone else? No, I've shown you how to use iPlayer. I've shown you how to use iPlayer twice. No, well, I can't talk about that now. I'm with my friends. Bye, Mum. I mean, that's the reward. That's the end game. That's them grown up. I can't tell you what every time I'm on the television. In a way, you can. Because that person invented you in their stomach and then grew you and then you sucked off them like a parasite. And then they pushed you, when you were the size of a watermelon, out of a hole the size of a tampon. And then you fed off them like an external parasite for some time. And that was even before anything got hard. That's before you started being able to hold your own stupid head up and, like, get to things that you wanted to put in your mouth to poison yourself with. Like, really, I can't tell you every time I'm on the television. Why can't you look at the Radio Times like everyone else? Because she made you. She doesn't want to look at the fucking Radio Times like everyone else. She's not everybody else, is she? I just go, if you can be irritated with your mother in minutes of spending time with her. Irritated in minutes of spending time with your mother. Go, Hours, if it's more like hours, go, days, weeks, months. So most people in this room are irritated by their mother in minutes. Can't bear to be in the same room as that person. And you ask, I ask people, why? Why do you not like your mother? Why do you find her irritating? Why do you find her irritating? Oh, she's so emotionally needy. So needy. She's so needy. She's so emotional about everything. Yeah, let's be very clear. You'd be emotional about any human being who, for the first 12 years of your friendship, had followed you around like a tiny coke addict going, I love you, I need you, I love you, don't leave me, I love you, I don't leave me, don't leave me, oh, don't go out, don't leave me, don't leave me, don't leave me. And for the next six had gone, shut up, hate you. For the rest of your life had gone, well, I can't tell you every time I'm on the television. I've shown you how to use iPlayer. I've shown you how to use iPlayer twice. Oh, really? Really? See what you're doing there, madam? Holding a glass. Guess who taught you to do that? Your mum. Sitting upright. Guess who taught you how to do that? Your mum. Sir, over there, not pissing yourself right now. Guess who taught you to do that? Your mum. I've shown you how to use that iPlayer twice. Really? What if she'd said that? I've told you how to say your own name twice. I've told you how to use a spoon without getting it in your eye twice. That's it. That's it. And do you know the worst thing about this routine? The worst thing is somebody took that bit, which is, oh, you complain your mother wants you to help her with her computer, but she showed you how to use a spoon. And that has become a meme on the internet, so I can't do this routine anymore because everybody now thinks I've got it off Facebook and I haven't. Facebook got it off me. Or, a worst-case scenario, somebody else thought of it and put exactly the same thing up, which means I'm not original. And that's why I'm angry, and tonight's show is about anger. And it's also why I'm not sure if I want to have kids.
My challenge is on a sort of similar theme, I suppose. I worked with a man who's taller and posher than me, and he would get angry. I would never really know what would trigger it, but sometimes he would just get really, really angry. And I would sort of imagine myself lying on the ground with my face down, with my hands over my head, like waiting for it to pass, like waiting for a storm to go over. And I would say anything that I thought would help put the fire out, and it just wouldn't. It would just get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And sometimes I'd say, can you just stop? Can you just stop? Because he would berate me, and he would never apologise.
I sort of tried to process it, and I thought it's because I spent my teenage years to my early 20s as a Jehovah's Witness, and my life was entirely run by men who made all the decisions for me. And then I saw another woman I was working with, a man was unaccountably just flew off the handle at her. It was not her problem. It was nothing to do with her. She had done nothing wrong. And the next day I saw her really being nice to him and placating him and offering him something. And I said, why are you being so nice to him when he was so horrible? And she said, oh, because he was angry with me and it's my problem because I'm the one that feels it so keenly. He won't care, but I can't have him be angry with me. So I've got to fix it. And I thought, well, I know my thing. I know my why I need to stop angry men being angry and placate them in every way I can. And I thought, why does she feel like that? And then I remembered that she'd been sexually assaulted and she was going through a court case. And then I saw another woman and I thought, why? And then I remembered that she'd had an abusive boyfriend. And I thought, do you know what? If it's not a cult, it's an alcoholic father. It's an angry boyfriend. It's somebody. It's something in our backgrounds that's made us try to placate men or laugh along or do whatever it takes. And so I'm trying now to process my feelings and just say it's okay to be angry sometimes, and it's okay. I don't want to express it in a way that is completely unfettered, but I want to feel it when I'm feeling it and to be able to intelligently say I'm angry and own it before it sort of escalates and I've suppressed it so much and then it turns out to be hysterical or weepy, or and then I feel like I'm crying and I'm emotional. So my challenge I'm going to do right now, and it's about being able to say I'm angry. So, and I'm angry about something this week, so I'm going to talk about it. So I'm angry about Brexit. I am angry that entitled, smug, privileged, powerful men got in a big red bus and told poor people lies so that they could have even more entitled, smug, privileged power, even though they knew it would make those poor people poorer. I'm angry at those men. I'm angry at myself that I was complacent, that I knew that the inequality in wealth and property and opportunity was getting worse and I didn't do anything about it. Not just because I didn't know what to do, but because I benefited from it. I'm angry at myself that in truth my own most immediate and fearful reaction is, what does this mean for me? What will my flat be worth? Will there still be fun and easy high-paid work for me? I'm angry that most of my middle-class friends are angry with the poor, disenfranchised people who were told lies. I'm angry that British citizens and residents are being shouted at on buses because they look and sound different. I'm angry that racism and fear of human beings who are from somewhere else is the outlet for those who have been fed on a diet of Rupert Murdoch's poison for too long. I am angry at Rupert Murdoch, who knew he would have more influence on No. 10 Downing Street than Brussels, and so incited racial hatred in his tabloids to split us up. I am angry that today I watched the President of the European Commission in the European Parliament shout at Nigel Farage, why are you here? Why are you here? In exactly the same way Polish people are being shouted at British bus stops. I'm angry not because he was shouted at, I want to shout at him too, but because it was virtually the first time in my life I felt unwelcome somewhere because of my nationality. It made me realise I may not be welcome in Europe for a while because of my accent, that people might shout, why are you here, at me in Paris or Frankfurt or Madrid. I am angry that it has taken feeling like this for us to do more than post stuff on Facebook. I am angry that most of us will continue just to post stuff on Facebook. I am angry that there is not more room for women in our society, that diversity of thought and emotional intelligence and biochemistry is not deemed necessary or in some cases desirable because women are deemed an unknown quantity in leadership, and that we continue to trust straight white men with almost all the decisions and influence, even though they have shown us time and time again that as an homogenized, unsupervised group, they make terrible, unsustainable decisions which tank the economy and the environment and everything for everyone. I am angry. I am angry. And if I feel this anger and bring it out into the light, maybe I can turn it into action and hope and power.
I had learned to express emotion, I would.
That means a lot to me, so...
Can I tell you something, just really quick? When I was in therapy for my anger, that we took, like, one whole session where she, like, told me to, like really dig in deep and, like, find all that anger from my childhood, the anger I never felt. And then she just, I mean, recklessly just sent me into the street. And the first thing I did was I met with my best friend in the entire world. She's still my best friend in the entire world. And she said, oh, where do you want to go? And I said, oh, I feel like a pasta. And she said, oh, I just don't want pasta. And I swear to God, I punched her in the face. I feel really ashamed that I did that. And I was like, I'm so sorry. That was for my grandfather. She's forgiven me and we're fine. But it was, I mean, when you do feel it, it's so fucking powerful.
I hear it. I hear it.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello, Guilty Feminists. It's Jessica Regan here. And I think it's high time we announced some Guilty Feminist Big Speeches Winter Workshops. If you, like the majority of the population, have a fear of public speaking, or if you quite enjoy it actually, but you'd like to level up your skills, or maybe you're just curious and would like to give it a go. If you are any of these things, then please go to guiltyfeminist.com/big speeches to secure a place now on one of our winter workshops. They are taking place on December 11th at 11 a.m, January the 14th at 3 p.m, January 28th at 11 a.m, and our last one will be February 11th at 3 p.m. Book now to avoid disappointment. Our prices have never been lower.
Hello, Guilty Feminists. This is Deborah. We've got some new live shows coming in 2024. Tickets are on sale now for shows at King's Place in London on the 15th of January and 19th of February. Full lineups to be announced, but you know we always get the best co-hosts and the most interesting guests. And we'll be announcing our Australian and New Zealand dates very soon. So keep an eye on the website, guiltyfeminist.com. And if you're enjoying this episode, why not pop over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen and give us a 5-star review and a few lovely words. It really does help other people find the podcast. And so does talking about it on social media or even mentioning it to a friend with your face. You can also get ad-free episodes by subscribing on Patreon, Apple Podcasts, or Acast Plus. That's all from me here. Back to the podcast.
Shall we bring in our guest?
Yeah, let's do it. Oh, fuck. Hold on. Do you want to introduce?
Yeah. Lolly Adefope is a British character comedian, and she is hilarious. She was voted the Independent's one to watch. She was one of the Evening Standard's Fresh Faces of 2016. She was both nominated for the Chortle's Best Newcomer and Best Character Improv Sketch Act. She is seen on Sky One's Rovers and ITV2's 11-ish, and on Channel 4 and on BBC 3. We love her and you will too. Welcome to the stage, Lolly Adefope. Hello.
How are you? How are you, Lolly?
So nice. Thank you so much for having me.
I've only seen you for the first time recently. And I have to admit, I'm feminist, but when John Ronson saw your show in Edinburgh last year and he praised it, I was so jealous. I was like, I love him. And I should have seen the show. And then I saw you recently and it was so funny. And
Thank you so much. So you do
characters. So you're both, you're all of the feelings on stage. You're all these different.
Yeah. I think, well, last year I did a character show that was just characters pretty much. And it was because I hadn't been doing comedy for very long. And what I'd written and what I was doing at gigs was just silly characters and like doing silly voices and writing jokes. And then so my Edinburgh show was just like a compilation of all of those characters. And then I got some reviews that were kind of, cause there was like a moment in the show where I play myself and I make a tiny joke about how it's really hard to be a black female comedian, but I don't like dwell on it because that wasn't what the show was about. And then I got some reviews that were kind of like, she does talk about race a bit, but it would have been more interesting to hear her talk about that a lot more. And then there were other reviews that were kind of like, she doesn't even talk about race. And that is great, because you don't have to talk about race if you don't want to. And so this year's show is kind of a mixture of doing characters and playing myself. But I think the point is kind of, I should be able to do whatever I want in my comedy. Mm. And like, if someone wrote a show about like a parent dying, no one would say, oh, but why didn't you talk about your other parent and how they felt in the situation? But for some reason, everyone always has to be like, the thing is, I see everything, and you didn't actually mention that one thing that I think you should have mentioned. So this year is kind of playing myself so that I can, like, sort of shine a light onto those kind of comments that I get, and then also playing characters to show that I can do whatever I want. If I want, if it's funny.
How much do you think you do filter your anger through comedy? Like, how much is it a useful valve for anger, I suppose?
For me, it's like the only way I can deal with stuff. Like, when Orlando happened and Julia Hartley Brewer wrote that article and she was like, maybe Owen Jones has more in common with ISIS than he thinks. And then I wrote this tweet that was like, be yourself, Julia Hartley Brewer, because Katie Hopkins is already taken. And I sent it to my friends and I was like, is this funny? And she was like, it is funny, but also a tragedy has occurred and maybe we don't always have to make jokes about it. And I was like, I don't know how to not just, partly being a comedian, people expect it, and partly being a black female person, people will expect a comment.
I sometimes feel that weight of, you're a woman in comedy, speak for all women in comedy, speak for every female experience, and you always get asked, if you ever interviewed, it's a sort of running joke between female comedians that it will automatically
What's it like?
Be. What's it like being a female comedian? I can't really tell you what it's like being Dawn French or Jenny Eclair or Sarah Silverman. I mean, I'm sure they've got quite different experiences, so it's really hard for me to say. How much is that more exacerbated by being a black female comedian?
I think with things like interviews, I don't think anyone's ever asked me anything about race, even though I'd love to answer questions about it.
Except me right now.
Yeah.
Am I the first to bring it up?
I love it.
Do you think they're too scared? They're too scared to say you're
black? Yeah, I think I'd expect it more. I think people are more willing to just like write a comment in a review, like the things about, I shouldn't mention it, rather than actually debate something where it will show that they're maybe quite stupid.
I would get, like, when I first started out, my reviewers would all be saying, she doesn't really mention being Danish. And then they would give suggestions for jokes and be like, she could wear, like, a jumper, like Sarah Lund in The Killing. And she could do jokes about that. Thank you, Bruce Dessau. That would be very funny. Actually, that's a great idea.
Today, Phil Jupiter suggested to me that you do a show called Smorgasbord. Like Smorgasbord. He said, I know what she's going to say.
Okay.
What are you going to say? And I'll tell you, I'll write it down. And then,
does it have anything to do with the nationality of the original term Smorgasbord?
It is.
Yeah, okay. So what? So I would say that Smorgasbord is Swedish.
Yay!
Wait. But then he's probably going to be like, oh, but actually, in the 1600s, the Swedes were better than this. So it's actually Danish.
No, he just acknowledged that his inaccuracy.
Oh, okay,
and,
good.
Yeah, absolutely.
His incompetence.
No. And if you're listening, Phil, we love you.
And you're incompetent.
How? I was reading an article by a black woman in America, and she was saying there's a stereotype in America that black women are angry. And so she said any time that she gets annoyed, rightfully annoyed, like anybody would be annoyed. And so she sort of taken something back to a shop and they won't accept it, even though she's got the receipt. And they're just, you know, a normal thing that anyone would get annoyed about. She said she feels she can't get annoyed because then she's an angry black woman.
Yeah. But I think that's a stereotype all over. It's not necessarily just in America.
Do you feel that pressure?
Yeah, but I'm sort of like a bad example of it because I think if I'd like grown up with loads of black friends or something. I went to like quite a posh all-girls grammar school where there were like three black girls in the school. And so all of my friends were white posh girls. And like sometimes like my mum would like go to a shop and like take something back and like call such a fuss. Me and my brothers would be like, oh my gosh, this is so embarrassing. and because I've sort of like seen the way that other people look at people who are angry and black and sort of been like, well, I'm not going to be that. I'm just going to be this funny, cool girl who doesn't do that. But then like now that there are more like think pieces and people talking about stuff like that, it does make me more like willing to be angry. But like you just kind of have to like quantify it and be like, no, but I am aware of the angry black girl stereotype and I'm not doing that, I'm just being angry.
God, how exhausting
it's really hard being me.
I don't know if this is true, but I get a feeling because there's the stereotype of the angry black woman and the stereotype about like angry feminist women. That's more like if women are angry, they're hysterical. It kind of feels like it's going up in steps. Is that because in level of who deserves to be the angriest? Like black women have way more to be angry about than feminists, who have way more to be angry about than women who don't know about feminism. So I feel like that, like those stereotypes, is like there to make us shut up because we don't want to be the stereotypes. We'll just keep the receipt or whatever.
Yeah, I think also it's the people who are creating the stereotype, I guess, are straight white men. Like you were saying, the different levels. I guess it's like the different levels of things that they don't understand. So like, they don't understand what it's like to be a woman, and then also they don't understand what it's like to be black. So that it's just them giving an excuse for why they're not going to dwell on your issues, and they're just going to make it your issue and something that you have to deal with rather than an issue that they've obviously created.
It's quite funny really in a way, isn't it? A sort of posh white men going, every time I see a black woman, she's angry. And I'm there. Yeah. I don't think those things are related. What a coincidence. There's probably some self-awareness needed, really, isn't
there? There was a guy, I did a show called The Last Leg the other day, and I was talking about the EU, and then they asked me a question. They're like, what was the atmosphere like? And I said, lots of like middle-aged white men just running around not knowing what to do. And then I was sat next to Stephen Mangan, and he realised that on the panel of people on the show was just all white men, and I was like, I'm surrounded by old white men. And then someone tweeted at the show being like, it's absolutely ridiculous that she was allowed to say that she was surrounded by old white men. I would have been lambasted if I said the opposite. And I was like, no, but genuinely, if you ever get the chance to say I'm surrounded by six young black women at 9 o'clock on Channel 4, like, you can say it whatever you want.
Yeah, when was the last time you were really angry, Lolly?
Yesterday, when the whole thing happened with Brexit. Don't know if you know about Brexit. And then there were so many people who were posting on Facebook saying, like, people who voted Leave aren't necessarily racist, which I've come to terms with and finally agree. But I feel like no one is acknowledging the fact, well, maybe some people are, but not a lot of people on my Facebook feed aren't acknowledging the fact that people who voted Leave did so and aligned themselves with a campaign that was racist. And was that that? I thought that was like, no way. And just like everyone, like all the stuff that's happening now, all like the racist attacks that are happening, everyone knew that was going to happen if Leave won. And the people who voted Leave were kind of like, no, but I did it for the economy. I did it because Turkey might join the EU. I did it because of whatever. I did it because of the fishermen. And it's like, yeah, but did that really affect you more than what you're seeing now? Mm. And you were still able to go out and do that. I get that we don't have to. We shouldn't turn against each other and we shouldn't point fingers and be like, it was your fault. You did all this. But it's kind of mad that no one's being like, the Leave campaign was racist. And if you voted for it, whether or not you think you're a racist, you've aligned yourself to something that is racist, and you have to say, I did it for the economy, but I knew that this was going to happen, and I was fine with that. That's kind of what I think.
if you're listening at home in the future, where we live, Brexit has just happened. When was the last time you were really angry, Sophie?
Okay, this is so Sex and the City, but it was because of a boy. And here's the thing. So we've been dating for a while. And everything's going fine, texting every day, da-da-da-da. And then all of a sudden he went completely quiet for like a week. And I was texting him, he didn't text me back, completely quiet, completely nothing. So I wrote him, hey, by the way, is anything, you know, is something wrong? Because it feels like something happened at some point, and if I've done something, I'd like to talk about it, and if not, if you're just not interested anymore, that's also fine. Just whatever, just kind of let me know what's happening. And he said, chillax, Max.
Your racism story's looking pretty stupid now. Hey, Lolly.
Now, I mean, I'm aware. I'm so aware. It was just, it was the only thing that rang in my head when you said angry. I was like, I remember that as being, I saw red. Like, one thing is telling someone to relax, but telling someone to chillax?
No. Someone about, hardline.
Like
hardline,
a grown man with a job telling me to chillax?
Chillax Max, not just chillax.
Chillax Max. So I yelled. This is the thing. So I yelled a lot in like all caps. And then he said, "Oh, so crazy." I was like, "Okay, well, you're gonna see crazy now. You're gonna absolutely die." And I just remember, because there was that thing of like, I'm reading your text back to see, have I said something weird? No, it's all very reasonable.
And then I started wondering, should we all just chillax Max?
I hope he dies in Edinburgh. Like his show. No, wait. No, his comedy show dies. Like, he doesn't get laughs. Not like that.
No, I was going to say, that's
it
extreme.
It sounds really extreme.
Hope he dies. Falls under a bus.
I hope he's just on vacation.
That'll show me how to chillax Max.
Do you have any quote? That was one very eager there. Let's do that one.
When you're angry about something and you're upset because you're angry, do you find that people often misinterpret and they think you're crying because you're upset or you're crying because you're embarrassed? But you're not. You're crying because you're angry.
Yes. I never cry, though, as well. Because crying is so, like, personal and emotional, obviously. People assume that you're the one with the issue and they never want to make it about them because they feel fine and they don't feel they need to cry. Is kind of annoying because it's you opening up and being emotional, and it's the kind of thing that people should look at within themselves to react to, but they kind of maybe push it away and think, oh, she's just crying because she's mad and this isn't my issue.
I remember seeing the first time I saw like a real life fist fight between two men. They often cry when they do that, like of anger, because they get so... And I just want to say, the Fight Club lied. Like, in all the movies, when men fight, they're like just angry and blah, blah, blah. But then in real life, they're so angry that they're like crying, like, and then like holding each other. And it doesn't look like fighting in the movies. And I thought, this is bullshit. We've been taught that... Oh, that we're the crying gender?
I don't think I've ever seen crying fighting men.
Have you not?
I don't think I've seen that many fighting men, have you?
Yeah, totally.
Crying fighting.
Because they get so...
Yeah, it just gets pent up in them. And then when they can't punch, when they get like pulled away, they just like...
Because the testosterone's up and they can't punch, so they cry.
Or they're embarrassed.
I would pay to see that. That sounds awesome. I get it, and it's debilitating. So when I try to do my angry read out, my angry thing that I'd written on the way here in the cab, I knew I would cry, and I was really trying to stop myself because I was like, no, be angry, but that's how it comes out for me. And I was like, why can't you sound angry? Why do you have to sound upset? Because I think then other people, if you're angry with someone, and it feels like a weapon, I think, it feels like an emotional weapon to go, you upset me now, and then they have to calm you, and then that's their job. So that's why I think people dislike it. So I tried to force myself as I spoke on towards the end to actually get angry and sound angry. And I think if I did it a few times, which I won't, but if I read that out a few times, I could start to do it in a more angry way.
But I think that's other people's fault, though. I think that's, like, you being angry and then crying is not bad in any way, just that we're conditioned to see, like, someone crying as a sign of weakness. Crying is, like, anger 2.0. It's like... like the fact that you've gone to that stage.
I know, I do know what you mean, but I wonder if it's something with me where it's almost so I don't show hostility, I'm internalising the anger and I'm turning it in on myself because I don't want to go, you fucked up, it's your fault, I don't like you. So I start going, but, you know, and actually I want to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm not pointing at anyone.
Yeah, I was like, that is your fan.
Sorry, no, this is a metaphorical you know. But yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, I think I should learn to be able to sound angry without crying. So I'll probably read this once a day until I can get it in a really angry, out loud, until I can get it into a really angry voice. And then I'll just start doing it from a loud hailer on the top of a London bus, you know, until I can really kind of go. Because I want to be able to. I want to be able to not go, I'm angry with you because you hurt my feelings. I want to be able to go, no, I'm angry with you, not because you hurt my feelings, because you did something that I find unacceptable or now has consequences for me.
I get that sometimes. If I mostly have my discussions over text because I don't function well with people. I think there's something about, like, if you complain, or the second you're not compliant, is that a word? Then you're just being, oh, she's on her period, or she's really emotional, or something like that, because they just want to push away the, like, us being serious, actual people with opinions.
To be fair, I am quite hormonal at the moment. Everyone Sorry. Close their eyes. Women, if you find it hard to express your anger at times, go, mm. If you never find it hard to express anger, go, mm. If you sometimes find it hard to express anger, go, mm. Men, if you often find it hard to express anger, go, mm. Sometimes? Never.
I just fell asleep halfway through.
And I just want to do one more. Everyone close your eyes. Men, if you've ever cried during a fight, a fist fight, could you go, mm. If you've ever cried during a fist fight, go, mm.
Are you feeling vulnerable?
Please give it up for Laliana Falvey.
So we're all going to go and see your show, Lali. What's it called? Where can we see you and find out where we can see the show? My show is in Edinburgh and it's called Lolly 2, because I didn't know what the show was going to be about when I chose the title. And it's at 6 o'clock in the Pleasance Courtyard.
Lovely. And where can we find you on Facebook or Twitter?
Twitter, it's Lolly Adefope.
Lolly Adefope. Yeah. At Lolly Adefope. Follow her and she's going to do amazing jokes when she gets angry.
Yes. She's amazing on social media.
Very funny
so funny, I'm so jealous. Yeah, and John Ransom loves you.
He does.
And then I gig with him and he didn't tweet about me.
I told him not to.
I tweet about you, Sophie.
Yeah, but you have like, what, 11 followers?
In the face, and it has nothing to do with anybody's grandfather.
Be angry.
You don't have 11 followers. Quickly follow me, gang. Quickly follow me at Deborah FW. At Deborah FW, quickly. Sophie, did you plug your thing?
No, I didn't.
Well, plug it. Hurry up.
I'm on Twitter at Sophie Hagen, SOFIEHAGEN, and Facebook, and I have another podcast called Comedians Telling Stuff, which is just about comedy and comedians and stuff. So if you're into that, Deborah's been on it.
I have.
Lolly won't be because it's over now, not because I don't want you. I'm doing a new show called Shimmer Shatter, and I'll be doing it in Edinburgh. I'll do it on tour in the UK. I'll do it some places in Europe. We don't quite know where yet, and then definitely Denmark next year. So please come and see it. I really like the show. It's a sad show, but I like that. So
I saw a preview of it, it really made me laugh, and then at the end it made me cry.
Yeah, of anger.
And then Sophie, no, it made me cry, and then Sophie couldn't look at me or hug me, or she had to turn away because I was showing human emotion.
It was so you were so gross.
You can't cry either. You're not that if you're cries.
Well, very occasionally. But yeah, it's very rare.
Well, next time you come on, we'll talk about crying.
What do you have to flag, Deborah?
I am doing a podcast called Global Pillage, which you can find at globalpillage.net. Please listen to that. It's a diversity-based comedy panel show, and very funny, all the questions about cultural diversity. And I'm also doing a Radio 4 series called Deborah Frances White Rolls the Dice, and that will be out in September, October this year on BBC Radio 4 and Listen Again. And it's true stories about my real life, about finding my biological mother, leaving a cult, finding my biological father. Big stuff's happened to me. I'm whoring it on Radio 4. At DeborahFW, please follow me immediately.
Find us on Facebook. We have an amazing Facebook group called the Guilty Feminist Podcast. It's a very supportive, amazing safe space full of intelligent people. It's a very nice place. I think you should join that. I think you should follow us on Twitter at GuiltFemPod. And then I think you should rate and subscribe us on iTunes. Five stars.
Or as many stars as you think it deserves.
You go and rate it, Deborah. It's so...
I'm not rating our own podcast.
Who hasn't rated it? Are you going to go and rate it? Yes. Are you going to give it 5 stars? Yes. Thank
I
you.
I would if I were you.
You have been listening to The Guilty Feminist with me, Sophie Hagen, Deborah Frances White, and our special guest, Lalia Bukopi. Music was by Matt Hutch, producer of Sam Zelinsky for the Spontaneity Show. Thanks to Zoe, Megan, and everyone at Kingspace, as well as all of you for listening. For more information about this and other episodes, visit guiltyfeminist.com.
I've cried at a fist fight.
Oh,
well, does this count? Someone punched me in the face and then I cried.
Darling, I can't bear it.
The Guilty Feminist is provided exclusively from Acast. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.